What is up, guys? This is Coach Cam, and I am back.
He is back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Coach Cam. Hey. What are we talking about?
Everything that I've been through the past 6 months in a little short mini-series. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, brand new season. Let's go, baby. All right, guys. So welcome back to a brand new season of the podcast. Coach Cam is back. That is right. How does it feel to be home?
It feels weird.
How so?
It's hard to explain. Hopefully by the end of this, everybody will kind of understand where my head is at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely different. I mean, I've been told what to do, when to eat, like when to sleep, when to wake up.
Oh, man. I got what, so many questions.
What foot to step on?
Yep.
For the past 6 months, half a year. And now I'm just like bored and twiddling my thumbs at home. And it's just weird. It's weird to be back.
Coming back to reality.
Yeah.
That's going to be the title of this episode.
Coming back to reality?
Coming back to reality. Yes.
All right. I like it.
Yes. Because so we want to figure out what's been going on in the past 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I know everyone's been wondering what's been going on. You know, I took a little hiatus from the podcast myself.
Right.
Things have been going on with me. Everything's good, but, you know, just trying to grow the business and everything.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot going on with you. A lot behind the scenes.
Yeah. Podcast land has no clue where I went. I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit.
We did.
We mentioned it. Yeah.
I talked about bringing you in.
Oh, that's right.
You going into the National Guard.
Yep. I didn't think that going into the National Guard, I would be tied into the Army as much as I was.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Because you talked to me about this throughout the journey that you were getting like really entrenched into.
The guys to my left and right are now like right this second in Ranger School, which is like, or they're in Special Forces. Like, and it's weird. It's weird to think like I wasn't in there with just other National Guard guys. Like you go through the same training as the Army. And so it's wild stuff.
So it was National Guard and Army?
National Guard, Army, it didn't matter what your contract was, because it is the United States Army National Guard.
Right.
For the state of Georgia. Right? Okay. So like that's how it goes. So if it's like that's who owns you, right? So it's the United States Army National Guard, Georgia. That's kind of like the hierarchy of who owns you.
Right.
So if the U.S. Army said go over there to a different state, I go. It's not just the governor that owns me. It's the United States Army that owns me.
Gotcha.
And I guess I didn't really fully understand that. I mean, I got it, but I didn't really get it until I was there.
Yeah. But were there other guys from like other different branches of the service there? Or was it just like Army and National Guard?
So there was prior service dudes there.
Okay.
So prior service means that they were either a part of the Army previously, or they were a part of a different branch of the military, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, whatever.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
Marines.
So they already served.
Right. They've already served. They did a contract and now they're back.
Okay.
Or they wanted to switch service. So like the one guy, Logue, he was a part of the Army and then he's coming back, but he changed his MOS, which is like his job title.
Okay.
So at first he was a combat medic and now he wanted to be in the infantry. So and his hiatus away from the Army was so long that he had to go through everything again.
Gotcha. So they have like certain restrictions, like if you were to take a break from going to school and college and then coming back.
You come back, you're going back to freshman English.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Okay. You don't pick up right
so
where
you're like from. Picking up like algebra and that kind of stuff.
Oh man, yeah.
And he's just looking at it like, dude, really?
Yeah.
I'm have to do this again.
He went through it all again. And I picked his brain a lot.
Yeah.
And then the other two prior service guys I met up quite a few, but the other two that I basically lived with throughout this whole process were both from the Navy.
Okay.
They were both sergeants.
How was that? Knowing other people that were in the service prior to it for you and your experience?
I gravitated towards them more than everyone else.
Yeah.
And I don't care if everyone else is listening. They already know that. I was a part of...
Shout out to everyone.
Shout out to everybody. What's up, Alpha Company? First Platoon, Misfits all the way. And I'll explain what all that means. But yeah, I gravitated towards them a whole lot more. I think it was maturity level.
Yeah.
Age played a lot of role in that. I was the third oldest in the entire company.
Oh, wow.
I was the oldest in my platoon. Mm-hmm. And then you had the prior service guys.
So just real quick, how did that present a challenge to you?
What?
Being the oldest guy
in your platoon? They turned to me. The drill sergeants used me as the mature one. And then the guys in the platoon turned to me for everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
a weird fatherly role or something?
They called me dad. At night, at night we'd go to bed and they'd be like, "Good night, dad." I'm like, shut up. Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Quit talking. You know, they love you too. Good night. You know, it was rough. They'd be looking at me. They're like, "Dad, you should not be on TikTok." And I'm like, Just stop talking to me. But yeah, dude, it was wild. I mean, you got guys. One of my best friends out of there, Borg, he turned 20 while we were there.
Oh, wow.
But, like, I mean, it was just, it's wild, man. I'm 11 years old.
I mean, you had a birthday while you were there, too.
Yeah. Oh, we'll go over that.
Right. What was that like?
I was at a place... in the beginning, all right.
Because that was at the very beginning.
Yeah, we need to start at the beginning, man. So I get to the airport. That's the first place that I go to.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Well, the first place I go to is MEPS. MEPS is like your in-processing. That's where they take your blood. They test you for drugs. They test you for COVID. They make you do the duck walk.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Make sure that
your basic physical at the doctor.
Tattoos.
What do they ask about tattoos?
They check your butthole. They check everything, okay? Tattoos, they just want to make sure you don't have, like, you know, some kind of swastika on your
any gang signs
face,
or anything.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because it can, you know, that's a big deal.
Especially if you're representing your country and going out to other places.
Yeah, they don't want a Nazi emblem on some dude's forehead while he's representing America. Yeah. So, they go through all that, and you do all your processing paperwork. You make sure that all your paperwork's in order, that your bonus is there, your just everything. This is how much I'm going to get paid. This is my rank. This is all that, right?
Yeah.
And then they take
in the beginning, do you have to, like, sign something of your intent for your job?
Oh, dude. I signed...
Like, going in...
I think I signed a total of 30 documents.
That I want to do this. Or is it more of, I'm signing up for... basic training, then I'll figure it out.
The Army owned me December 22nd, 2020.
Or do you get...
I didn't ship out until March 1st.
Okay.
But they owned me since then.
Yeah.
So, you sign all your documentation the day that you sign up for the Army. The day you swear in to the military. And I was in there with some Marines. I was in there with one Coast Guard dude. But it was me... two people from the Army and a bunch of Marines and one Coast Guard guy. And we were in this little room at MEPS. This officer comes in. He was with the Navy. And, you know, says, this is what we're going to do. You're going to stay in attention. This is how you do that. You're going to put your right hand up. We did all of that on December 22nd, 2020. Right? I'm a part of the military at that point. But my ship date wasn't until March 1st.
Right.
It's kind of the nice thing about the National Guard is they understand you have a home life and a job. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of gave me and you some time, me and my family some time to figure things out before I left.
Right.
But like these kids that signed up for the Marines when they were 18, they shipped out the same day.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I was like, all right, hey, it was nice meeting y'all. And they're like, see ya. And they go get on a bus. I got in my car and went home. And then I shipped out March 1st. So my birthday is March 6th, for those of you that don't know. And I shipped out on March 1st.
Yeah.
So they take me from MEPS to the airport.
Okay.
The Atlanta airport. It was just like a 5-minute drive.
Hartsfield Jackson.
Yeah. So we get there, and
the good old ATL airport.
I'm sitting there. I got a group of kids with me. I say kids because they're all in their teens.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at me like, I've never been to the airport before, and I'm like, great. So we go to the military lounge. You know, they have one at every major airport. And we're like, hey, we're looking for some drill sergeants, you know, and we're going to basic training. And they're like, oh, you're going to go over there. And they pointed like across the hall. Mm. I went into places at Hartsfield Jackson that I'd never been before.
Yeah.
Back rooms, you know. In a part of the airport that was not hardly touched besides people that worked there. Go over there and we grabbed some food. I got there at 10 a.m. Okay? 10 a.m. I was there.
Yeah.
Now I was at MEPS at 5 in the morning. Okay. And then 10 a.m. I'm at the airport. Now, I didn't get on the bus to go to Fort Benning, Georgia until 11 o'clock at night.
Hmm.
That first day, I was at the airport all day long. Now, they took a bunch of buses.
That's
with
a long day.
They took a lot of buses.
That's
with a lot of kids.
That's just setting a precedent, man.
They sent a bunch of kids.
You think they did that on purpose?
To me?
Yeah.
No. They used me. That's what it was. They used me. So I get there.
Dumb chaperone.
There's this drill sergeant. All I see is I'm sitting there ordering food, and this kid goes, well, that's scary. And I go, what? And I turn around, and there's this drill sergeant standing up there. Now, we all have, you know, these army backpacks, so he can see us from a mile away.
Yeah.
And he is standing at the railing and has the drill sergeant campaign hat on and is just staring at us. Like, just
just like glaring. An eagle.
And we're like, whoa. And so that was like the first moment I'd seen a drill sergeant. I was like, oh, man, this is going to get wild.
It's going to be intense.
So we ate our food and we went upstairs to go meet him. Now, this dude was a little intense. But he was nothing compared to what I was about to encounter.
Yeah.
Right? This dude was just the transferer, you know? Took you from the airport to 30th. Now, he looked at me and said, how old are you? Because I come in, I got a fade, I'm in shape, and I look older than everybody else. He can tell that I shaved that morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he goes, how old are you? And I was like, 29. He goes, are you prior service? And I said, no, I'm not. And he goes, but you're 29? And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, all right, I'm going to use you. And I was like, okay.
Okay. And sure.
So he had me standing up. He had a Marine, two Marines in there helping him do paperwork, processing people in. And he had me standing out front, gathering up the kids, explaining to them how things are going to go, and then sending them in the room. And he looked at me and goes, if any of these kids come in with a hoodie, jewelry, or they just, and pardon my French, but if they look like shit and they come in, it's your ass. And I was like,
okay.
All right. First kid that comes up looks like shit. And guess what happened? Me and him get smoked at the airport. Ooh. I'm doing push-ups before I've even gotten on a bus. And I'm like, never again. That's not happening. I'm not. Mm-mm. So every kid that came up, I would talk sternly to them.
You give them a few words of wisdom.
Yes. With a few choice words that I'm not going to say on the podcast. But basically, I'm like, take the hoodie off. Take off the jewelry. You don't need that.
Yeah.
Here,
get rid of this.
Pull your paperwork out. Put your backpack down. You know, all of this stuff. Like, tuck your shirt in, you know.
Yeah.
Eat your food before going in there.
Yeah.
Now's it's starting now. I was like, you know, at first I started to explain myself. Hey, we just got smoked out here. I don't need you, you know, doing this, and this. And people understood. But after a while,
once you talk to like three or four,
I'm there.
Then I just.
This is pushing about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the drill sergeant comes up and goes, hey, go get some Chick-fil-A and come back. I'm like, oh, man. We've sent out two buses already. I'm ready to go.
Where's my bus?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't leave till 11 o'clock that night.
Whew.
10 a.m., 11 o'clock at night. Drill sergeant got in there at about like 11 a.m. to the airport.
Man.
And, you know.
So you're just taking care of kids.
So every kid, some of them were like older, but every person that came up thought I worked for the Army. Or thought that I was prior service or something. So they saw me with a little bit of respect, but didn't know who I was.
Right.
So fast forward, I finally get on the last bus. I'm on the last bus out and getting on the last bus to get there. And they're like, okay, watch this intro video and we're going to take you to the auditorium. Now, watch the intro video. We get all of our personal belongings and put it in the closet room where they're going to store it and take our paperwork. And then we go to the auditorium. And, you know, like you know how it is. Bus pulls up, drill sergeant gets on. He's like, and comes out and you're going to stand at attention. And this is what it means to be in the Army and all that stuff. We went through all that, right? I'm fast forwarding through all that. That was nothing. Nothing. Compared to 30th AG is the Army's processing center where they're going to give you all medical treatment that you need, all paperwork that you need. So like your CAT card, your military ID, all that type of stuff, your dog tags, everything, right? And then they're also going to give you your uniform and everything. Now, at the same time, the drill sergeants that are there are drill sergeants that have been pulled from other companies, other battalions around. I believe it's just Fort Benning, but it could be the United States. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they select them. And you're voluntold to come to 30th. And so they hate that because they just sit around all day with a bunch of kids that don't understand the Army and are giving them attitude back. This is their first experience of structure. And they're dealing with a bunch of kids. And so they hate their lives.
Gotcha.
So these drill sergeants are intense and they're wound up tight and they're pissed off and irritated because they're dealing with civilians, not trainees.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah. There's a thick line between a trainee and a civilian kid. Trainee understands what he needs to do. He might not do it because he's stupid because he's a trainee, but a civilian kid's not going to know anything. He calls you sir when he shouldn't call you sir. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's right. Just that little petty stuff that'll irritate the crap out of a drill sergeant.
Right.
So all these drill sergeants are irritated and pissed off. There was one drill sergeant, I'm not going to say any names, but there was one drill sergeant that came in and he was a lot meaner than the rest. But he was also like 5'5". Like I could stand there and see over him. But he was the scariest dude. Like my entire time at Fort Bend, like my entire thing, this dude was the scariest. There was...
What made him so scary?
I mean, he probably weighed more than me. He was insanely ripped, bulky. Like he works out all the time.
Yeah.
But it was just his demeanor and that his southern, thick southern accent. African-American guy, short. Carried himself like he was the top dog. And he walked around like a freaking bulldog. And he owned the place. Like, what? Like, he strutted his stuff like Conor McGregor. Yeah. Just like,
yeah.
Shoulders swinging, you know? He'd be like, come on, trainees. Like, we get there, we get off the bus, and all of a sudden, like he's up on this podium. So you're like, whoa, he's tall. But in reality, he wasn't until he got down. I was oh, my God. But, like, he's like, you're going to call your family. Your family's not going to know where you are. You're going to tell them. You know, and, like, so I had to, like, call my dad. My dad did not answer the phone. This is after we got a couple of things. After we got out of the auditorium, that's where all the kids were. All the kids that left at 10 a.m. went to that freaking auditorium and just sat there and waited all day long, by the way. So me waiting at the airport with my phone was not as bad as the kids that left early in the morning.
Yeah.
But we all went to where we Bravo Company at 30th, where we were going to process him. And there he is. He's standing up tall and proud, you know? All 5'5" of this dude.
Just a big old presence.
And I call my dad. My dad doesn't answer the phone. You get one phone call with your cell phone. And you've reached the voicemail. I'm like, Dad, you got to answer the phone. I understand it's like midnight, but still. you know, you'd think you'd stay up, but whatever. And I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm at Bravo Company at 30th AG, Fort Benning, Georgia. I'm here. I don't know when I'm going to be able to talk to y'all again. See ya. And I hung up the phone.
Well, that's going to wrap up another episode of the podcast. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you stay tuned until the next one, because we got a lot of really good things that we're going to be discussing this season between Cam and myself. If you want to give us a follow on social media, you can follow Cam at RealCamBlack. You can follow me at Ronnie Denman, and you can follow us together at The Fit Cook Life. If you ever have any questions or anything you want us to cover in a future episode, make sure to just send us an email, info@thefitcooklife.com. And then if you're interested in working with us one-on-one to reach your fitness goals, make sure to reach out as well. But until the next episode, guys, make sure to stay safe, have fun, and get active.